The three candidates running for Park City Mayor are Roger Armstrong, Andy Bierman, and Dana Williams as part of a series of candidate interviews that KPCW is doing with all three of them. This morning I'm joined by Andy Bierman. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. So my first question is, what do you want people to know about you? And let me just say that I can tell them that you, an Old Town resident, you were a business person operating the Treasure Mountain Inn, but you have sold that, now semi-retired, I'm guessing. You have served on the Park City Council for 1.5 terms. You ran for Park City Mayor in 2013 and lost to Jack Thomas. But what else do you want people to know about Andy Bierman?
Well, I think I've sort of come up and grown up through Park City. I arrived here back in 1995 in a VW van again with a couple thousand dollars in my pocket and the promise of a job. And like everybody else, I had to find a place to live. And since then, I've been active in a lot of things in the community. I've run a restaurant, a hotel, a retail store. I'm a business owner. I'm a property owner. And feel like I've, in particular, the last 10 years have been very active in community issues. First, as an activist for environmental and small business causes, and in the last 6 years on city council.
Yeah. So why is it that you want to be mayor? I mean, is it the prestige? Is it be, you know, from the outside in, it looks like it's the council people who really do a lot of the work.
Well, I agree, but I think the mayor is part of the council. The mayor plays a pivotal role in that they set the tone, they set the agenda, and ideally the mayor is a coalition builder on the council. They work to build alignment between the council and the community and the city staff, and that's a role that I think is a natural fit for me, and it's a particularly exciting time right now. The 6 years I've been on council, I would say the last 2 years, we've gained a lot of momentum. We have great alignment right now with the community. After years of doing engagement and studies, we're finally kind of done talking about a lot of this stuff and taking action.
Yeah. In your last campaign for mayor, your theme was people, planet, profit. You seem to have dropped that for this campaign. How come?
Well, it's people, planet, Park City is still in the background. The profit element, 4 years ago, we were coming out of the recession, and there was a lot of talk about how do we build a more resilient economy here. And it's always a reality, whether it's in city government or overall in the community. You have to have a healthy economy to do many of the great things we do. Right now, though, I think things have flipped. We've become a little bit of a victim of our success. 20 years of booming economy and growth is really starting to overwhelm our community. So I think the focus needs to be squarely on community. So I've dropped that as an element of my campaign. Doesn't mean it doesn't still need to be monitored. We still need to be fiscally responsible at the city. And we still need to make sure that the community has a healthy economy.
Yeah. So when we look at just this past weekend, it was overwhelming. And I don't know if it was that we can attribute that to the 484 soccer teams in town. But is that what Park City is about?
I start to question it at that point. This weekend, I was out walking on doors, knocking on doors all weekend. And I heard from almost every place I went, every home I went to, that they're having issues with traffic and events. And one of the pillars of my platform is Keep Park City Fun. And that's really about managing the intensity around here. We didn't move to Park City to live in an intense urban-type environment. And I think we all have wonderful moments in the spring and the fall when we walk out on the main street and there's three people and a dog. We feel like it's our town. And we need to do a better job of managing that intensity. I think we need to be more selective in the events we bring here and mitigate them better. And certainly traffic is something that is one of our top issues that we have to address right now, because there is nothing small town about traffic or congestion.
Well, and that was a big issue between you and Jack 4 years ago. Yeah. Was this notion of, you know, small town Park City, keeping Park City as Park City, and then you thinking, you know what, the reality is that we eventually are becoming the, you know, the urban part of the Salt Lake Valley up in the mountains.
Well, the community split in terms of, we all envision ourselves and have our hearts are with the small town. And there's a lot of nostalgia there. And I think we want to preserve that. We also, though, have to be prepared for the fact that we are a town of 8,000. But during peak events and big times, which are more and more frequently, we grow to 60 to 80,000 people. So we also have to be able to scale up and run like a mid-sized city and have the services to deal with those kind of things. And if we don't address those squarely, I think we lose lose the last of our small town feelings. So I know they're kind of paradoxical how we approach those, but I think from a community standpoint, we build a community to behave small and complete is our goal. But yet from a city services standpoint, we have to be prepared for increased traffic and increased visitation that we see.
Yeah, but we don't need these big events in town. I mean, they're not sustaining the town. It's the second home. So why do we continue to invite people?
It's a great question. I mean, I think you're right. Some of the events we probably could call and we could reduce. And whether that means getting rid of them altogether or better mitigating them, that's true. But a lot of the events have big advocates. You look at something like Sundance, it's beloved in the town. The Kimball Arts Center, it's beloved. Savor the Summit. One of the challenges we found, we created a citizens event committee to look at all these events and give council some feedback. And what we've gotten from them is they're very split. Many of the citizens want the events because we each have our favorites. You may not want Tour of Utah, but I may love it, for example. Each person has a different event they love. And then each event tends to be, I think 85% of our events are fundraisers for our nonprofits in town. And we all love and support our nonprofits. And if we pull away their main fundraisers, it's problematic. So it's not a simple thing to address. I think we're getting very aggressive right now on the mitigation of those events, particularly the one on the downtown. We're trying to figure out how we can get the traffic out of the neighborhoods, further restrict things, and address the big elements of it. Ultimately, I do think we will have to scale back and certainly start saying no to events, which I believe we've already done, but maybe even remove a few.
I think voters are trying to find out how the three of you are different. And, you know, I don't see a lot of differences on the issues, but how would Park City be better if Andy Bierman was mayor?
Well, I think if you're pleased with the momentum we have and the critical priorities, transportation, energy, and housing right now, I'm the person best equipped to keep that momentum. Even though we have three qualified candidates, only one of us is prepared to slide over one seat and be ready. I've shown I can be effective on council. I've shown I have the support of my peers and can build coalitions, and I also have all of the relationships in place. And if you look at when Jack came in, he had spent 10 years on the Planning Commission, and it still probably took him 2 years to get up to speed fully to the mayor's role. And I think not only do I have a personality that's well-suited for that, but I'm ready to roll, and I'm not going to have to go through a learning period.
Some residents questioning the city's decision to be in the real estate and development business. We were buying up property like Bonanza Park, Lower Park Avenue, Woodside, and then developing the property. Has the city crossed into the line of what private industry should be doing?
Yes and no. I think the city has changed our posture, and we've gotten more aggressive in terms of directly taking on some of our community needs. The free market is just out of control here, and there is no way anybody that is middle class or working class can move to Park City and live in Park City. So we're seeing all of our essential service workers, our teachers, our police, our nonprofit heads, our business managers, they can't live here anymore. So the city has stepped in and taken a more aggressive role with our housing program, and we really view that as community building. Otherwise, we are just an aging community that's switching over to entirely second homes, which at the end of the day is not going to be complete or authentic. So we feel like we've had to step in. And I'd like to specifically address the Arts and Culture District because I think that's an interesting hybrid. In the past, when we don't want development, we've bought it as open space. That's been one of our major tools to stop growth. And I would say the Arts and Culture District, that is part of what we did there. It was slated for over 400,000 square feet of commercial development, which is huge. We were basically going to plop down a new park in the middle of that district. It was going to be high. It was going to probably bring in big boxes. It was going to bring in additional commercial and hotel inventory we didn't need. So by the city partnering with two of our nonprofits, Sundance and the Kimball Arts Center, we were able to stop a development that we didn't feel like it was going to benefit the town, as well as we were going to keep two treasured nonprofits in town and address the need to diversify our economy and our souls, so to speak, by adding an arts and culture district.
Well, the city runs a recreation complex that puts itself in direct competition with a private athletic facility. The city is moving forward with offering free rides that could directly compete with the four higher businesses. The new RFP that the city has makes it even more difficult than it did before for a local company to compete in that. So, I mean, again, are we running a municipality here, or are we acting as an independent business.
I don't think we're trying to directly compete with our businesses. I think sometimes that happens. I've seen that actually as a, there are points in my past where I've, as a business owner, had conflicts with the city on that. So it's something I'm sensitive about. The Imperial Inn was an example. I was trying to purchase that then, and I were when the city bought it out from under us, and we were disappointed. And the city had a very specific purpose at the time and a reason why they did it. So I guess the long and short is we need to be sensitive not to step on the free market too much. But things like the Mark, I believe that is a very different product than Silver Mountain Spa. And even though there is some overlap, I think it's more of a community center. We offer services there to people that couldn't afford it on a retail level. And I think it's an important and beloved amenity. As far as competing directly with taxes with our transit system, you could argue our entire transit system competes against the taxi and shuttle services, our buses included. And the microtransit, which we're working on, we were approached by the taxi industry and they felt like it was too much direct competition, and council tweaked that significantly. We told staff they missed the mark and they need to change the hours, they need to change the routes, they need to hire locally, they need to do many things so it's better integrated. And by and large, we've gotten much better feedback. So it's something the city is sensitive to, and we try to address it.
Let me just give you an opportunity to respond to what Roger Armstrong and you and the Mountain Accord. Roger, of course, saying that he's suspicious of Mountain Accord or the Central Wasatch Commission, and not convinced that this is really about relieving traffic, that it is about relieving traffic issues for the Wasatch Front at the expense of the Wasatch Back. But you disagree.
Suspicion is healthy. Paranoia is not. I told council at the very beginning of the Mountain Accord that we weren't sure whether we were going to play offense or defense down there. And I would say, on the whole, we've played a little bit of both. But at the end of the day, it's far more important we're down there. My belief has always been, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And the health of the Wasatch Mountains, the recreational uses, the transportation connections, that is all stuff that is incredibly important to the Wasatch Back, because we share that. So I think great things have come out of the Mountain Accord. Thus far, it's all been environmentally oriented. We've focused on additional land protections. We've focused on environmental baselines to monitor that. And the transportation, we looked at a broad spectrum of options, some of which were controversial, but I think it ended up just where it needed to be, which is looking at bus routes, tolling, limiting single occupancy use, and really coming back to reality. And at the end of the day, there was a lot of talk about trains and tunnels and things that scared Park City. And at the appropriate time, we pushed back on that. But the pushback not only came from the back, but it came from the front. The residents on neither side of the Wasatch want to see any of that move forward. So I think we need to continue to stay involved and continue to make sure it heads in a positive direction. And if it doesn't, we'll be in a position that we can push back.
Finally, 30 seconds, why voters should vote for Andy Bierman for mayor.
Well, as I've said before, I'm deeply rooted and embedded in this community, have been incredibly active for over a decade. I am prepared for the job. I've spent 6 years on hand through thousands of hours of meetings. I know all the players. I've proven effective in the role, and I have the support of the council. So I think I'm ready to hit it day one. And if you do feel some urgency that we need to address our critical priorities in this community and protect our small town, I think I'm the best person for that job.
All right. Andy Bierman, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Leslie.